Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. And again, it's good to see all of you here today in the house of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and verse 17. And Romans chapter 1 has got some very, very interesting things that are written in it. And I want to just pick it up here, verse 16, and we're going to go through a few other verses before we're finished here this morning, Lord willing. And Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, or in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. And so Paul, in all of his writings, in much of the body of the text of his writings, he makes reference over and over and over again to the gospel. The gospel. The gospel this, the gospel that. And I want to talk about the gospel this morning, but I want to look at it because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And in the gospel is the righteousness of God. And it is revealed from faith to faith, or as we grow in Him, we understand more and more about the righteousness of God, and that's what it means to live by faith. Amen. So I want to talk about the gospel here this morning and the blessings that come from the gospel. Can we pray together this morning? Amen. Lift your voice with me and let's ask for God's help today. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint the word to our hearts. We ask you to speak to us today. We give you thanks and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Let's look at the Word of God, and I'm going to be using a few scriptures, so keep your Bible handy and let's look at the Word of God this morning. But I believe that oftentimes it's easy for us to take for granted the great blessings that we have. And I feel especially blessed here this morning. I really do. I feel blessed every day that I get up. I'm not begrudging anything in my life. I am just happy for the blessings that God has brought into my life. I'm thankful this morning. But it's easy to take for granted our blessings, especially to a selfie generation, especially to a generation that it's all about me. I read a little post the other day, and the person said, "Well, I guess nobody is my friend. They haven't posted anything to me or texted me or said anything to me by electronic email, and so it's over. And from now on, it's about me, and it's about me being happy." And I thought, oh my, what a shallow, shallow existence in life it is when we come to the place where it's all about me. But, you know, it's really not that way, and that's not the place of blessing in life, is finding something for me and getting what I want to make me happy. That's really not going to be a good road to go down. But that's the generation that we live in today. And to counter that natural desire of the flesh, the Lord gave us an example, and He came to this world, and He came to save us. He didn't come because of anything that He desired for Himself necessarily, even though it has come, it is developed into that. The Lord came and gave Himself and gave us an example that we should give ourselves to Him. And not only give ourselves to Him, but give ourselves to others. Praise God. We find the greatest scripture in the entire Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And in fact, it is called the Shema of Israel. And Jesus was asked about this and asked, what is the great commandment in the law? And he quoted Deuteronomy 6 and 4. The Jews still believe this is the greatest commandment in the entire Word of God. And in fact, Jesus said that all of the law and the prophets hang on these verses of Scripture. So let's look at it. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. There's only one God this morning. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I like what the Lord said here. He gave us the truth that there is only one God. And then he says in verse 10, and it shall be when. Amen. It shall be when. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And so if we get our priorities right, amen, the first thing is to seek God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us, amen. If we get the right perspective in what it really means to live for God, we're going to face the gospel first. We're going to face the truth of God that there is just one God. And in fact, the Jews today still believe that there is just one God. They have been monotheistic from Abraham, and can I even say they've been monotheistic since Adam? Amen. Because there was only one God, the Lord, that appeared to them and talked with them in the garden. And so when we come to this understanding, it becomes a foundation for our life. It becomes something that will bring the blessings of God when the blessings of God begin to come in your life. He said, don't forget the Lord which brought you out of the land of bondage. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, 6, and 7. And I'm going to need some help here this morning. Brother Reed, would you read those verses for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Well, praise the Lord. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And so what it tells us here is that the power may be of God and not of us. And so holding on to the basics is a very important thing for the long haul. And it's very true with anything. We need to see that what we have and or see what we have and be thankful for it every day. And so he says here to the Corinthians, he said, for God, everybody said God. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Amen. That is the God of Genesis chapter 1. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light that came into the darkness. Praise God. And he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It does not say in the Old Testament that it was the Son of God that said, let there be light, because the Son of God had not been born yet. And yet the Bible says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. How do we reckon those two things together? And some feel and some believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, which is a complete contradiction of terms. And it is not even brought out in Scripture. There is no place in the Word of God where it says that the Son was eternal. But it does say that he was slain from the foundation of the world. Does that mean that Jesus died on the cross when God created the heavens and the earth? No, he was not crucified until the appointed time. What does that mean? That means that in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And it was the Word that created everything. It was when God said, let there be, and there was. That's what created everything, was the Word of God. The Word of God is not another God, but it is the Word that proceeds out from God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It is the Word that proceeds out of His mouth. And what we have in Scripture here this morning is the Word of God. This is not another God. Amen. We don't worship our Bible as another God. We don't pray to our Bible, but we understand this morning that our Bible proceeded from God and came from God in a language that we could understand. I'm thankful for the Word of God this morning. And it says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And it still is God, amen, because it came from God. That's why Jesus could say that he proceeded from the Father, because he was the manifestation of the Word of God. Revelation calls Jesus Christ the Word of God, amen. And so the Word became flesh, amen. And the Word became signifies a period of time, a point in time where something began. Amen. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the Word of God, what was it that conceived in Mary? It was not the seed of Joseph that conceived in Mary's womb, but it was the Word of God. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost, which is God, it's another term for God. God is holy. God is a spirit. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and the thing that will be conceived in you will be of God. And so when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, the Word of God spoke into existence a baby in the womb of that mother. Amen. And on one side, he was the Son of Man, and on the other side, he was the Son of God. Amen. And the Word became flesh. What a wonderful understanding this morning. Folks, we are so blessed today to understand there is just one God. We are so blessed. And he says, the God, this God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has taken this truth and he has shined it in our hearts. Amen. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, or in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. He gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Scripture says that Jesus is the expressed image of God. Amen. He is not a second God, but he was the Son of God. Amen. We have fathers here this morning, and we have sons that are here this morning. And there is never the possibility for a son to be the same age as his father. because the Father begat the Son, whatever Father and Son you're talking about. And the word begat points to a period of time, a moment of conception in which there was the beginning of life. Amen. And so we talk about the Son of Man as the sacrifice, as the sacrifice on Calvary, and we talk about the Son of God as He who was created and conceived by God Almighty. Amen. And so Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. That's why He could heal the sick and raise the dead, but He could also get hungry and sleepy. Amen. But the Bible says God does not tire. He does not get slumber. He does not slumber nor sleep. Amen. The Bible does not give us anywhere where God gets hungry. And we understand this morning that God cannot die. Amen. God does not have a beginning, and He does not have an ending. Amen. And so Jesus was the Son of God, but the Bible says that in Him dwelt fully the Spirit of the Godhead bodily. Amen. I believe it's Titus that tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God in that He gave His life for us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. The first Adam was of this earth, earthy, the Scripture says. The second man was the Lord from heaven. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Thank God for His word here this morning. And if you're going to live for God, and if you're going to understand the righteousness of God, then what you have to understand is this basic understanding. And this basic understanding follows through with the gospel, and it goes right straight into the gospel. Let's look at the gospel here this morning for just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's turn there this morning. Praise the Lord. Do you love His word today? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look at it here. And Paul is giving them the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. And so Paul tells us a little bit about the gospel in verse 1. He says, I declare the gospel to you, which I preach to you. We've got to have preaching, which also you have received. We've got to have believing or receiving the preaching of the Word of God and wherein you stand. And that's what I want to focus on a little bit this morning is standing. Amen. We need to stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to have a foundation that we stand upon this morning, a foundation that is rock solid, that will not shift in life circumstances. It will not be moved. Though the earth and the heavens be removed, we can stand solid on this foundation, and that foundation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is the foundation that there is but one God, and that one God came to save us from our sins. He says in verse 2, by which also you are saved. If, everybody said if. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And so if we forget the gospel, we cannot be saved. We walk in the gospel. We have revealed to us the righteousness of God in the gospel. Amen. And if we are going to be saved, we must continue with the Lord. We cannot go to another gospel, but we must stay with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one gospel. And Scripture gives us many different places. But if you ask many, many people today, try it sometime, and ask someone that you know goes to church. Let's use that as an example this morning. And ask them, what is the gospel and where is it found in the Word of God? Most will look at you and will not have an answer because they don't know what the gospel really is. Amen. But Paul told us right here, it's very simple this morning. And I hope we're going to get a hold of this here today. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not the good news that the Lord came down to this earth. It is good news, and it is a part of that. But the gospel, the basic message and the bulk of the gospel is that Jesus died, He was buried, and that He rose again. Amen. And in fact, and you don't have to turn there this morning, but in Galatians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia, and he tells them, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him, amen, who hath called you by His grace unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. And so Paul declared there that if we go to another gospel, we are going to another God. He said, you have left Him because you have left the gospel. Amen. And he tells them in the scripture that we just read, if you forget and not to forget, amen, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but continue in the blessings of God. And the blessings of God come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, and what are you talking about this morning, Pastor? Well, I want to try to bring it out in a very simple way this morning, but Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. If we are to obey the gospel, it doesn't sound like a commandment. It doesn't sound like the Lord says, do this, this, and this, but it is just laid out in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. What we need more than anything for blessings in our life is a resurrection. We got to have a resurrection. We can't live our lives just looking at the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus died. We can't just go through our existence looking at the burial of Jesus Christ. Because the death and the burial, those were finite things. They don't really deal with the future. But what we are excited about and what everybody gets excited about is Easter Sunday, right? Because that was the day of resurrection. That's what makes the Christian faith so much different than any other faith. Amen. Is because the one who established our faith rose from the dead. He died, but he did not stay there. Amen. He was buried, but he's not there anymore. Amen. He rose again. That is the excitement, that is the thrill, that is the hope, amen, that is the victory, that is everything that we stand in, that is the blessings, amen. All of our Christian walk with God, all of our faith in God hinges upon a resurrection. But it is impossible for us to have a resurrection unless there is a death and a burial. You cannot have a resurrection. Something cannot stand up again if it never went down. Amen. The word resurrection means to stand up again. And so there is a going down into the grave first, and then there is a resurrection. When we talk about the resurrection today, we are talking about the rapture of the church, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Amen. Death to us is not a final thing. Amen. Death to us is just a passing from this life to a better place. Amen. Death is just a beginning where we wait for that resurrection day where we will be caught up to meet Him in the air and be with Him forever. Praise God. But in order for that to happen, we must have a death and a burial. Well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my life? How can I experience that resurrection? Well, there's a lot of gospels, but there's only one gospel, and it's found right here in the Word of God. Jesus died. All right, go with me to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. And Paul, again, is writing to the Romans, and he gives us an understanding here of some of the aspects of the gospel. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Amen. Praise God. Read that for me this morning, Hunter. Can you read that for me? Read it loud. All right, knowing this, that the old man, the old life, the old lying, the old cheating, the old man is crucified with Him. Everybody said with Him. And so Jesus died. He died by crucifixion, didn't He? And so when He died, then in order for us to participate in the gospel, in order for you and I to have a resurrection, we also must die. Now, I'm not talking about a physical death, and the Scripture is not talking about a physical death here, even though that is a part of it down the road. But the death here is that the old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed. That is a beautiful, beautiful Bible definition of repentance. When we come to God and we give our life to God, we accept the Lord as our personal Savior. We give our life to God. We go to God in prayer. There's a lot of different ways to do this. But it's just up to the individual. I need to find a place where I repent. And repentance means to turn around. It is the word metanoeo in the Greek, and it means about face. And you turn and go back the other direction. What we need today is not altogether programs and exciting services and ministering to the needs of people. What we need to be blessed and to have the fullness of God's salvation in our life is we must have a turnaround. Praise God. Because you can start going to church, but if you start going to church and you keep lying, it's not going to help you. You can start going to church, but you can still run around and do all sorts of things in your life that are sinful, and it's not going to help you. Amen. It's not just enough, and thank God for the church, and we need to be faithful to the house of God. But I'm telling you this morning, what we've got to have is a turnaround, and the Bible calls it repentance. It is actually where we die out to our old lifestyle. And we say, God, I'm going to do my best to stop my lying. Amen. God, I'm going to do my best to stop stealing and cheating. I'm going to do my best, Lord. I'm turning away from those things. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to go in this direction anymore. Amen. That is what repentance is. Crucifixion does not leave a whole lot left after it's over with. The Bible says that He did not even look like a man after He was crucified. He was beaten and bloodied. His body was physically destroyed, and He did not even look like a man. They spit in His face. They slapped His face. No doubt His face was swollen and disfigured, and His back was laid open with 40 stripes and torn to pieces. And his lungs were filled with fluid and blood, and it was horrible. Amen. No doubt there were so many things. When you look at him, you would say, that does not even look like a man anymore. I don't recognize him as Jesus. Maybe those that grew up with him saw him on that cross, and they said, is that really him? That can't be him. That doesn't even look close to him. Amen. That's exactly what happened on the cross of Calvary. But you know what happens when we really repent? Amen. When we turn ourselves away from our sin, your friends that you grew up with are going to say, you're different. There's something different about you. You don't resemble the old person that you used to be. Well, praise the Lord. And we're not doing that to be controversial or anything like that, but it just is a reality. It is just a fact. Amen. That when you die with him, everything that is not of God, all the old life has got to surrender to the will and the purpose of God. We must repent. Amen. And then if you go to the fourth verse of that same chapter, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, and it says, read for me, Hunter, this morning, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And so when we die in repentance, then in order to obey the gospel, which is death and burial, the Bible says here that we are buried with him by baptism. Many say that baptism doesn't matter, but I'm going to look at a few scriptures here this morning. Brother Reed, get me Acts 2 and verse 38 this morning, and we're going to see that baptism is essential. If you'll turn to John chapter 3 and verse 5, you'll read that Jesus said we must be born again. That's where we get the term born again, is John chapter 3. And in verse 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If we don't die and we're not buried, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because we cannot have a resurrection until there is a death and a burial. Read for me, Acts 2 and verse 38. And I'll stop you before you get finished here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. For the what? For the remission. That word remission there means to blot out. It means to wipe away. It means to cleanse. If I had the chalkboard out here this morning. My, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I really didn't know exactly what direction I was going to go this morning, but I just feel this so strongly. If I had a chalkboard and I wrote all kinds of sins on that chalkboard, and I walked up there, that would represent my life. And I could say, this is me right here. And I could look at this and I could say, God, forgive me of my sins. And I could turn and walk away, but if they're still written there in the book, so to speak, then I'm still accountable to those things. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the blotting out or the washing away of your sins. Paul was told in Acts 22 and 16, he said, Ananias spoke to him when he was converted, and he said, and now why tarriest thou? Why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, speaking the name of Jesus or calling on the name of the Lord. And so when we die with him in repentance, then the Bible says that we are buried with him by baptism. Well, praise God. Somebody help me here this morning. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we believe. This is what ushered us into the kingdom of God. This is what is going to keep us going. Amen. We're standing on the gospel. We're standing on the truth. When everybody's going in another direction, we got to go back to our foundation. There's only one God and there's only one gospel. There's only one way. Praise the Lord. And we're coming up with all these different ways in this generation, but there still is only one Word of God, and God never changed His Word. God is always going to keep His Word, and the promises are still true. It doesn't matter if the whole world goes into darkness. We can walk in the light if we are staying in the gospel. Praise the Lord. Repent and be baptized in the name. Everybody said the name of Jesus Christ. That follows through with what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. He said to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Everybody said the name. In the name of the Father. Praise the Lord. I've asked many people, well, what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Father? Think about it this morning. That's exactly what He said. To be baptized in the name of the Father. The Father has a name that is revealed to us. You'll find it in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 this morning. Amen. For unto us a child is born. That's a human being. Unto us a son is given. That is a male child. And upon his shoulders will be the government. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Jesus was born. Jesus came. He was those things. But there's another thing that it says He is. He is the everlasting Father. You know why? Because the everlasting Father, the one who inhabits eternity, came down to this world. Praise God. Came down to this world and robed Himself in a body of a human being. Amen. And the God who created all things went all the way to Calvary until Jesus said, "It is finished," and He gave up the ghost. And He took on upon Himself the sins of the whole world. Don't tell me that God can take upon sin, because God cannot sin. He cannot be tempted with sin. Sin cannot enter into God. But it entered into the Son of God. It entered into that perfect sacrifice, that human sacrifice. Amen. Because the blood of animals could not forgive sins. It had to be the blood of a human being. And if we had to pay for our sins, there'd be nobody here this morning, because we would have all died. Amen. But thank God there was one human being. Amen. He was human because Mary was His mother. He was God because God was His Father. And He went all the way to the end of that cross. And then Jesus cried and said, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" It wasn't one God crying out to another God. It wasn't a junior God crying out to a greater God that said, "My God." Amen. Would it be that there would be two gods in the Godhead, and one of them would declare that the other is God? No, it was the Son of God. It was the man, Christ Jesus, the mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So we baptize in the name of the Father, which is Jesus. And we baptize in the name of the Son, which is? Oh, somebody's with me here this morning. It's Jesus. We baptize in the name of the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost anyway? Is the Holy Ghost another God in the Godhead? Oh, I'm telling you, the Father and the Holy Ghost are one and the same. Matthew 1:20-21, it says, "That which is conceived in her will be of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is God. God is the Holy Spirit. He is holy. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And so the Father and the Holy Ghost, but Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in My name." Amen. There's only one name, Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one name. There's only one name that will remit our sins. There is only one who has the power to forgive sins, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, and verse 44 through 48, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul baptized the believers who had already been baptized. They had been baptized by John the Baptist, but they got rebaptized because they hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. They had meetings where they gathered together, but they had not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And when they heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul, they said, "Let's get baptized." Philip went down to Samaria, and he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And while they were going down the road in the chariot, dust and horses kicking up dust in front of them and all of that, he's expounding to him the word of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Why, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And he went and baptized him right there. You know why? Because if we die, we have to be buried. I've got to have somebody with the power and the authority to pick up the spiritual eraser and go over to the chalkboard and erase everything that's written down about my life. Put it down and say, "There it is. You're clean now. You're washed now. You're white now. You're pure now." Well, praise God. But folks, we cannot stay with a death and a burial. I'm talking about the gospel this morning. Thank God for the death and the burial. That takes care of the past. What we've got to do is get rid of the future. I'm sorry. What we've got to do is have a blessed future. I'm thinking way ahead here this morning. My mind's going a million miles an hour. We got to look ahead. I don't want to just come to the church and die and be buried all over again. Right. I'm not going to come to church every time I come and fall on the altar repenting. There's a future that God has for me. There's a future that God has for you. We need to get to the place where we come in the door of the church, amen, and we lift our hands in thanksgiving. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving." That word means with lifted hand, extended hands. Praise God. I'm coming because this is the place of my future. This is the gateway to heaven. Amen. This is where the angels are ascending and descending. This is where visions are brought. This is where we hear voices. Amen. This is where things happen in the realm of the Spirit. Right here. I'm not coming in here to cry every time I come. And if you need to cry it out, go ahead and cry it out. But friend, when you get done crying it out, get a praise in your heart. Amen. Get a resurrection. Stand up again. Amen. You can fall 7 times, but the righteous get back up. There's a resurrection for you. Amen. And that resurrection is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. You're still there at Acts 2:38, aren't you? "Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. And they had just received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God, now comes into the life of that empty vessel. Amen. We used to be full of sin. We used to be full of the things of this life. But in repentance and baptism, they're gone. Praise God. We're empty. We're ready to receive something in our life. And that's why God gave us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you can read it in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When they did receive the Holy Ghost, what happened? I'm preaching about the gospel this morning. That's the gospel. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:38, the scripture that Brother Reed read this morning, was in response to people that were sinners. And Peter was preaching to them, and he was telling them, you're a sinner. You crucified Jesus Christ. We say, well, yeah, he had to say that to them because they'd actually crucified Jesus Christ. But did you know what, friend? You crucified Jesus Christ. Did you know I participated in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? You say, wait a minute. No, that happened 2,000 years ago. This is 2018. I had to think about that for just a minute. I didn't crucify him. Yes, you did. By your sin, it demanded that he went to that cross. If there's someone here that's sinless this morning, you can say, he didn't do it for me, but he did it for me because I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right. Well, praise the Lord. And he told them, you have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the best thing you can ever feel in your life is conviction. Right. A conviction. Amen. Oh, God. The Bible says they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. They were condemned in their heart. And they said, oh God, we're not right with God. We've done something terrible. We've done something horrible. How did we get to this place? How did I do these things? How did I go so far as to cause this much hurt in the heart and the life of God? And it drives you to say what they said. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? He had them right where he wanted them. God did. And he could have said, just repeat after me, I accept the Lord as my personal Savior. He could have said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say that because that's not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Say, well, does it really make a difference? My friend, it makes all the difference, because if you come up with another plan of salvation, it's another gospel. And if it's another gospel, then it's another God. And many that have the other gospel believe in multiple gods. But we only believe in one God. We believe there's only one gospel. There's only one word of God. Amen. And we must follow that, and we must stand in that today. Amen. And so Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Matthew 16 and verse 13, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And what was that rock? Who are you? Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this prophet, you're that prophet, this, that, and the other. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the chosen one of God. You are the Son of God. God himself is your Father. Praise God. A revelation. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? The rock, the confession of Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And a confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will save us from our sins. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. It's my rock of confession. Let's stand together this morning. It's my rock of confession today. They were so strong in the New Testament upon this that Paul could say, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. What was the gospel they received? That Jesus died He was buried, and he rose again. Amen. Praise God. Folks, as a church, as a congregation, we can never get to the place where we go from resurrection to burial and death again. We can't do that. Because if we do that, then we are accepting another gospel. We can never, ever get to the place, and this is where the ministry comes in, but we can never, ever get to the place where we come in the doors of the church and say, oh, we're going to have another dead service. Hello? We can't do that. Others may be able to, that's their norm, because all they talk about is death. All they do is accept the Lord as their personal Savior. That's all they do. That's death. We can't live under the shadow of death. When something dies and it's buried, we go back and visit them, and then after a while, we recognize they're not even there anymore. We don't go and have services at the graveyard. We don't do that. Well, praise the Lord. There's a time to have a resurrection. And we've been called to the resurrection today. We've been called to victory. We've been called to joy. Well, praise God. His commandments are no longer grievous. Amen. But we love the commandments of God. We love to live for God. We love to walk with God. Amen. Because we have passed from death unto life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. If you have someone in your life that's passed away, I've got a number of folks that have passed away. Well, where is so-and-so? Well, they passed away. Some folks may come up to you and say, Man, Brother Troy, you used to lie all the time. What happened? Oh, he passed away. He passed away. That old lion man that was in my life, he's passed away, and we buried him. They'll look at you like you got three heads. What in the world? Buried? Yeah. I remember teaching Bible study one time, and the person I was teaching said, you know, I've been thinking about this thing of living for God and salvation, but we've been real active thieves. And I've actually got stuff under my house that we stole from Walmart, and I don't know what to do with it because I don't want it anymore. I said, well, just load it up in my trunk. I'll take it back to Walmart for you. And I went back to Walmart, asked for the manager. You know, they always come up real shy, like they don't know what you're going to say. I told him, I said, listen, we preach repentance at our church. And there's somebody that's stolen some things from you guys, and they want to make it right. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but they want to bring this stuff back. And he was flabbergasted. He said, in all the years of my managing, I've never had this happen to me one time. Well, praise God. Some might say, well, God's forgiven me. Now it's a blessing to me. No, some things you just got to get right. What happened to that lie, that thieving spirit that's, oh, he passed away? Amen. You don't do that anymore. You mean I could actually give you money and have you hold it for me and you wouldn't steal it from me? Yep, that old man, he doesn't live here anymore. He's gone. He passed away. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things, old way of talking, old way of living, old attitudes. Well, praise God. They are passed away. Behold, all things. Everybody said all things. All things are become new. Talk about having an exciting life. Talk about having an exciting future. That doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect and there's not going to be troubles and difficulties. But we've got a gospel that we're holding on to. I've got a foundation. There's only one God. There's only one way, and I'm standing in that way, and right now I'm in the resurrection part of it. Praise God. I repented. I went down in the water in Jesus' name, and my sins were washed away, and I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced with speaking in other tongues, and rivers of living water flow out of my belly every day, every day. It's a walk with God now. The just shall live by faith. When we accept the gospel, we're living by faith. I'm standing in the gospel, Sister Glenda. Did you know that the gospel includes healing?
Amen.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Many places when they got saved, they got healed right there on the spot.
Amen.
Because it is now the resurrection.
Right.
I'm standing up again. Old things are passed away. Praise God. Those old sicknesses and diseases are passed away. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm rejoicing in this morning.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing in this because I'm coming to the understanding, and I've been preaching it here recently, about healing. And for a number of years, your pastor has battled migraine headaches. I have battled migraine headaches. And I would get one once a week or once every other week. And sometimes for 2 or 3 days. If you've ever had migraine headaches, you know what I'm talking about this morning. But around the first of the year, maybe right after Christmas, I don't remember the exact time, I was having trouble with my blood pressure. My blood pressure was too high. And the doctor was giving me medicine, and it didn't help. And he said, double it. So I doubled it. It didn't help. He said, double it again. So I doubled it again, and it still didn't help. And I thought, dear God, what am I going to do? And I called all the men up at the front of the church. Anybody remember that? And all the men came up here and prayed for me. I didn't feel anything exceptional, but I'm telling you, after that service, my blood pressure went down to normal. And I cut it back in half again, and my blood pressure was way too low. And I cut it back in half again. And I'm telling you, God has blessed me. At this point in time in the year, I used to have allergies. I have not experienced any allergy at all this year.
Amen.
And from January 1, when those men prayed for me, I have not had one single migraine headache.
Praise.
Not one. Not one. I'm thankful today for the gospel.
Amen.
It's true. It's real. It'll get you to heaven. It'll get you through this life. Praise God. And I'm just rejoicing in the Lord, thanking God. Amen. Almost 63 years old, and this week I'm out pouring concrete by hand, by myself. No, it was like, I'm glad this is over.
Amen.
I'm still sore this morning from it. Praise God. Some of you that are a lot younger than me, you look like you're about ready for the doctor or something. Praise God. My God's a healing God today. Let's lift our hands and thank Him this morning. God, you're so good to your people. God, you're so faithful to your people. I thank you this morning. I praise you this morning. I thank you for this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation for each and every one that believes. Have you repented this morning? Have you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Have you come to Him and said, God, I need a turnaround in my life. I give my life to you. Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? Have you been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues in the realm of the Holy Ghost, in the realm of the Spirit? Have you been resurrected? Are you living the new life? Praise God, you can this morning, and it's in the gospel, and it only comes from one God. There's only one God, and it issues forth from Him. Praise God. Let's give Him thanks right now. Let's give him thanks. Can you see?